This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Okay, welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. If you want to take a kind of a look at Westminster Christian Academy, 997-2900, WCASTL.org is the website. You can have your son or daughter do a little shadowing if they're heading into 7th or to 9th grade. Most beautiful campus in St. Louis. Scott and Ryan both send their kids there. My wife, Monique, is still the assistant part-time nurse, as Dom likes to remind her.
She sends my kids home away all the time because they go in when they want to get out of class and they go to Monique and say, I got a stomach ache. She's like, yeah, go back to class. She's like, I know who you are. Go back to class.
Dom used to try to go in there and take a nap. She says, get out of here.
She's hardcore.
Yeah, she is. All right, so top five players in the world as we speak. Go ahead, Scott.
Well, I got four were pretty easy for me. I'm struggling with a fifth, so I might have to listen to yours. LeBron, obviously the best player in the world. Anthony Davis, Giannis from the Bucks, and I have Kevin Durant because you can't guard him.
Yeah.
You just can't guard him. Those are four like, easy ones for me.
And who's your
Still working on my fifth.
All right.
What about James Harden?
Man, I just don't like his game.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Oh,
it's hard to say that.
Is that your five? What he just
I don't have Giannis. I have Steph / Russ because I'm a point, you know, I just think from a point guard perspective. But Giannis, that's why I said to you off the air, I don't think this conversation is cut and dry as you think, because there's about seven or eight that you could put in the top five.
Pazzi, what do you got there?
LeBron 1, I have Greek Freak 2, Anthony Davis 3, Russell Westbrook 4, and Kawhi Leonard 5.
Leonard.
That's pretty good.
That is good.
Kawhi Leonard is just amazing.
Yeah, that's really good.
So see, that's what my point. Like, yeah. So I just spouted off five, but I didn't include Kawhi. How can you leave off Kawhi? Yeah. How can you leave off the Greek Freak?
Yeah.
You got yours, Brian?
I have obviously LeBron 1, probably Durant 2, Giannis 3. Would Steph be 4? My fifth would be. I probably forgot Anthony Davis. Put Anthony Davis 4 and then Steph 5.
Okay.
For me.
The real list is the brow,
wow.
The brow, the beard, the king, the Greek freak, and I have Durant. I mean, Giannis has to be on there.
Yeah.
He may be number one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you're starting a roster right now.
But the thing is, it's tough to keep Steph Curry off. But I'm with you about the beard. Harden's got to be on.
Here's my thing
amazing.
About I don't love his game either.
Yeah. You wouldn't want to play with him.
I've never seen somebody score so regularly. Maybe not so easy, but so I don't know how you stop him.
Yeah.
I watch him shoot and how he gets in the lane and how he draws fouls.
He also has high assist totals.
It's a mate. His game is so funky but so difficult to guard.
It is. I don't like point guards who shoot too much. It just bothers
Well, that's why I would not put Westbrook on it. I mean, yesterday was a typical Westbrook game where he goes 6 for 20.
Yeah.
I mean, gosh, he's really athletic. He may be the best athlete to ever play in the league.
Totally.
But I just would not put him top 5 in terms of efficiency. You know who's getting a little bit like that in terms of not being efficient? Wait a minute. The guy in Utah.
Donovan Mitchell?
Yes.
Yeah.
Donovan Mitchell, who we thought was like, oh, man, this is going to be a superstar. He's a rookie of the year. He's unbelievable. He has some of the worst statistical games you've ever seen.
Yeah.
I mean, horrible shooting percentages, turnovers, all, you know, low assist totals. He's really disappointing.
Well, shot selection's a big deal. That's the thing about Harden that's hard because you watch him and you're like, and here, that's a terrible shot.
Right.
Nobody else touched the ball. You dribbled it for 23 seconds and then you shot a fadeaway three with a hand in your face.
Yeah.
But he makes a reasonable percentage.
Yeah.
It's hard to watch.
And here they are, you know, with battling injuries, including his own injury, and they're in first place again in the Southwest Conference. I also have a thought for you. I want to get your take on this, is the importance of coaches. I mean, I think that most people would believe that Greg Popovich is one of the three or four best coaches of all time. I mean, Phil Jackson, Pat Riley, Red Auerbach, Greg Popovich. Okay, maybe not even in that order. And yet, Tim Duncan retires, and who's a 500 club now?
Right.
I mean, gosh, it's all about the players.
What about Eric Spoelstra? Yeah. Right? I mean, he won two championships.
Yeah.
He's still the coach there. But, like, the league is so star dominant that in order to be a great coach, you have to have great players. And Greg Popovich started with David Robinson and then through there had players like Kawhi, like Tim Duncan, like Tony Parker, like Manu Ginobili. Now doesn't really have any of those guys, and he's a 500 coach. So I'm with you. I think he's clearly a Hall of Famer, clearly one of the top five coaches of all time in that sport. However, it depends on the stars that you have the NBA.
If Mike Fratello had that group and Greg Popovich had Dominique and Cliff Livingston instead, would we be saying that Greg Popovich is one of the greatest coaches of all time?
I don't – well, probably not. But I do think Popovich is better than Mike Fratello. I think keeping a group like that together and unified off the court more than on the court and
agreed.
Feeling like everybody's playing roles. I mean, all those guys you mentioned, Ryan, they're all stars. They could be on their own teams, be individual stars by themselves, but wanting to keep that group together, playing unselfishly the way that they did and having – and believe me, I would imagine there's a lot of coaching behind the scenes on coaching Tim Duncan on how to be a leader and that sort of thing. I think he's unique.
And you know my Manu Ginobili story. Do you know this story, Frank?
No.
So in 99, I was drafted number 45 overall.
By the Sacramento Kings.
Correct. And then you know who was 54 by the Spurs? Manu Ginobili.
Boy, the Kings are kicking
screwed
themselves
up.
On that one.
Golly, look at where he's at. Look where I'm at. Yeah. Did they? That's the difference right there between the Kings and the Spurs. They chose me, and they could have had Manu.
Huh. Now, by the way, your Kings squad, you still call them your Kings squad?
I do, yeah.
Because you're a long time veteran.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. He goes back to the alumni game.
Yeah.
Fox, Bagley,
Young.
Buddy Hield.
He's starting to develop.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. He's averaging 20 at the two-guard spot.
No, I know.
Sacramento could be relevant
kind
for the first
fun.
Time since
they're
your buddy
kind of
Chris
fun
Weber.
To watch. Yeah. Yeah, they're kind of fun to watch. Agreed. Fox is really dynamic.
He may, I thought Westbrook may be the fastest, but he may be the second fastest.
Right.
He's fun to watch. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Ryan Robertson, Scott Highmark with us, Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. I want to get your take on any St. Louis players you've seen at all. It's really early in the high school season. In fact, the one guy I kind of wanted to see during this holiday season, when I have a couple of days off, is Jory Collins from St. Mary's, who's back, the SLU recruit. He scored 33 in his first game back after shoulder surgery. Have you seen anything locally basketball-wise, or you've been too busy?
I'm trying to plan to see some this week. I want to see. I've never seen EJ Liddell play live, so I'd like to see him play live. I hear a lot about Jory Collins. I talked to Earl Austin about it. Obviously, he's going to SLU. I hear that he is kind of a classic point guard, which they really don't have right now. If you look at their team, you've got Goodwin, who's not a classic point, and you've got Tremaine Isabel, not a classic point. The Jacobs kid, I think, from Chicago could be, but I'm excited to see Jory Collins because obviously he's going to be in a SLU uniform next year.
I'm going to two high school games tomorrow. I'm seeing Vianney Kirkwood at noon at the Old Merrimack tournament, and then Westminster – I think Lutheran South and Chaminade at 4 tomorrow. So I don't have a great knowledge of the high school kids out there right now, but I'm going to go see a couple high school games tomorrow.
Yeah, and have you seen Hargrove from East St. Louis?
I have seen him in the summer and super excited about him too. Really athletic kid. And again, I just like the fact that some of those local kids are staying home. And I want them to stay home. But if they're not going to SLU, I want them to go to Mizzou or Illinois. I just think it's good for the area to keep those kids local. And I like to see that all three coaches are really recruiting all these kids hard and they're staying home.
Yeah, you look at that Missouri roster, just loaded with St. Louis kids. Mm-hmm. And Illinois, as they got Io from Chicago. Do they have much?
I don't think so. But the Chicago, I mean, there's the 2022-23. I mean, I know you're looking at freshmen and sophomores right now, but the Chicago recruiting class coming up is supposed to be one of the best in the country. So maybe they can be snagged by one of the three. But there's not much local kids in Champaign right now.
How about how players are, I'm not saying more skilled, but they're just better. Like, I watched that Vachon game. They played Roosevelt on a Monday night. And in the stands was Tom Izzo. Creighton was there. Travis and Corey were there. They were dunking in the game like it was a slam dunk contest at halftime where traveling didn't matter. And they weren't traveling. Yeah. I mean, they're just – we'll talk with Floyd and Tony about it, but it's scary how good they are.
I would ask them. They would know. But what's interesting, because getting a chance to do 10 SLU games on TV, I always have to get there early and just watching. So I always watch like how they shoot, right? So I watch the other team, and I watch, obviously, St. Louis U. But the athleticism is off the charts. But I'll watch it. I watched a Division I team that came in to play SLU, and they're, you know, starting small forward. I should have saw him shoot 100 shots from the 15 feet wide open, and he made 30 of them. Like, could not make – I mean, a high school kid at Westminster, you know, on the JV team would make 60 or 70% wide open. So I think the athleticism, yeah, the layup line looks great, but I just don't see – I don't see the skill development.
When you watch high school now or college now, do you think your game translates? Like, do you, when you think to yourself, like, could I play now and score 1,700?
Yeah, not as well. Not as
well. Well, if you had a smart coach, he'd have you coming off picks. But nobody does that anymore. It's all that high ball screen. And I don't think you're dribbling off a high ball screen and shooting 22 footers.
It's a different game. I think the athleticism is so off the charts now that it would have been a different game. I mean, I think you could find a way.
I saw Chaminade play 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, and then I was in, you know, Villanova, Kansas last weekend, and I watched those games, and both high school Chaminade, which, where's Chaminade ranked in the city or state?
Well, they were probably like two or three, but they lost to the SMET.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, so they're top whatever team, and then I watched Kansas at the time, the number one team in the country, and I'm like, I don't remember being able to play at that level. Like, and that was not that long. I mean, 20 years ago, I guess now. But I'm like, wow, they are so athletic, so difficult to get shots.
But it's not the skill. But the skill. Do you think the skill has increased, or is it just all raw athleticism
and size?
Yeah.
Like they're athletic and tall.
Yeah.
Right. Now, again, could I go out there and handle the ball and or, you know, shoot open jumpers with them? Yes. Could I play? I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, wow, it feels like it's changed a lot.
And doesn't everybody run the same thing? They set that high ball screen and they pick and roll. Yeah. Does anybody, there's no more motion. Like Bobby Knight's offense is not existing.
You know what? I love watching Villanova play, the way they share the basketball and they space the floor and they've got a bunch of skill players and they're just spacing you. It's not all off the dribble. They'll do a lot of ball screens and that sort of thing, but all five players, they'll run like kind of a five out motion. So I think there are some teams that run it. I like watching John Beilein's team at Michigan. I think they run
it. Yeah, they do.
Gosh, is he a good coach? I've watched a lot. I work for a company now that's in Philadelphia, so I've spent a lot more time in Philly, and so I've seen Villanova play a bunch. Wright. Yeah.
Okay.
Jay Wright is an amazing coach. And I didn't realize this, but, you kind of see this really well-dressed, kind of cool customer. Man, does he get after his players. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is in their face and – not afraid to use some four-letter words. And I've seen a different side of him than maybe you see on television, but what an amazing coach.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And polar opposite of the way Krzyzewski and Calipari do it, he gets two and three. He redshirts guys.
Yeah.
Nobody agrees to redshirts except if they go to Villanova.
And by the way, Troy and I talked about this yesterday on Christmas, but on Christmas Eve, I caught a basketball love story for the first time.
Awesome.
Unbelievable. And I know you are all over that, Frank.
Yeah.
And I saw two of the episodes and I'm hooked now. I mean, I saw the one with Calipari and Billy Donovan.
Yes.
My gosh. Are those well done?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you happen to see any of it?
I saw a couple the other day. I'm in love with this kid named Quan Quan. I just want to like go give him a big hug. He's just like this little kid and he's been in like detention centers and it's just amazing. It's well done.
Yeah. Yeah.
The player from Vashon I was referring to was Cameron Fletcher, who they all came to watch.
Yeah.
And he's like 6'7 or 6'8. And he starts off the game and with beautiful rotation, you know, backspin, hits this like 23 footer. And then the next two trips down the floor, he steals it and he has these, slam dunk
contests. And how
big is he? 6'7, 6'8, and Tom Izzo's right there.
Yeah.
I mean, he's unbelievable. Yeah. Calipari's already seen him.
The question, the thing about coaching and offense and what do they run and that sort of thing, I always look for just have an identity, do something well.
Yeah.
Like that's what I appreciate about Brad Underwood. They do something well. They have a style that they do. Konzo Martin has a style. That's what they do. You know, Travis Ford is developing a style offensively. I think it's still developing. But Villanova has a style. But be great at what you do and recruit players to that system.
Yeah.
That's
the problem with Illinois, and I do think Underwood's done some great things. He led the country in offensive efficiency the year before he got to Illinois. But their bigs just are not very good. And now with Io not looking like a five-star, they're about to enter the Big Ten. This could be a disastrous season.
Yeah, but I think you learn a lot with these disaster seasons. I am a very optimistic – I'm a pessimistic person, but optimistic when it comes to the University of Illinois. you just got to take these lumps because the Big Ten is brutal. I mean, Michigan, you got Ohio State, you know, Michigan State. Iowa is even really good. Yep. So you're going to take these bumps, but I'm hoping there's a turnaround, you know, on the horizon because I've been waiting for the 05 team for, you know.
Is Illinois going to do something with – are they going through any renovations or is it still the old
– They just did the Assembly Hall. Assembly Hall. Now it's State Farm Arena. I think they're doing things around that, but I also haven't been there in 3 or 4 years. So yeah.
The last time I was there was probably 4 or 5 years ago, and now it's an arms race. At the highest level, it's an arms race.
Yeah.
Kansas just built a mansion.
For what?
For the basketball team to live in? Yeah. Where they split it with some student athletes. And I was there last weekend, as I said, and it is incredible. And Calipari walked through it apparently 2 years ago. After he walked through, he got to the front door and he turned to Coach Self and said, "We're in big trouble. That we got to do something better." Because they have one too.
They've Wildcat Lodge.
They've had one. Ours is bigger and better now. So, you know, it's an arms race.
I used to see Travis Ford pull up at Wildcat Lodge in his black Corvette that said Ford 5. When we had finished with interviews and stuff, everybody thought, "Oh, they just paid him off." Actually, his dad made a little money and got him the car. So. All right, we'll take a short time out. Maryville University sponsors this segment. Students receive an extraordinary level of academic, personal, and career support, beginning with their first steps in transition from high school to college. Go to maryville.edu. And McBride is one of our great sponsors. John Eilerman has really built the dynasty. If you add up the 2 through 9 in terms of home builders in the St. Louis area, add them all up, they still don't equal McBride. They are Missouri's largest home builder. They have a great deal for you this holiday season. Buy a new McBride home. Receive $5,000 to $10,000 off the base price. That's right. Instantly get up to $10,000 in savings towards your new home. And McBride has nearly 100 market homes ready for a quick move-in markdown with tremendous year-end savings. Visit McBrideHomes.com for details. When we come back, the most unguardable player that these two guys were on the floor with in their careers.